This morning we are going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. As you remember, for the last 2 weeks, we have touched on a general theme of abundance, but we've talked about it in specific ways. We talked first about the fruit of the Spirit. First about the Spirit and the Word, and then we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. You remember this? The whole idea about abundance, remember, is that that for there to be true abundance, there must be the flow in and the flow out. That it is not enough. Abundance is not about accumulating. Abundance is about that which flows into and through our lives to the place that God desires to pour it out. And we talked about the Spirit and the Word, and how that the Word, that the Spirit took such great care of the Word that it would be God's message to flow into our life and then out of our life. Last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and by the way, I have received quite a bit of feedback from you about the illustration and how meaningful that made it, and I appreciate that. I hope indeed that it's spoken to your life, because fruit has both function and purpose. The function of the fruit of the Spirit is to encourage, to strengthen my life, your life. The purpose is to flow through us, to carry the seed of the tangible, discernible, transforming reality of Jesus Christ into the lives of all of those that are around us. And this morning, I want to spend a few moments talking about another aspect of abundance, and I want to approach it from an odd direction, because I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, because I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are actually one of the methods that God uses to bring true abundance in our life, that is flowing in and flowing out. Now, by the way, just so that you know, this fall, before the end of the year, I'm going to do another series entitled Every Member a Minister. And in that series, we're going to talk in great depth about all the gifts of the Spirit, not just the 9 that I'm going to mention this morning. And we will talk about them in much more depth than I'm going to go this morning. This morning, I want us to talk about it because I want us to go in a slightly different direction. I want us to see something about the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit, that I think is fundamentally important. It is fundamentally important to understanding the gifts of the Spirit, and it has to do with His abundance and it flowing in and flowing through our lives. Because here's what I believe. I believe that we get wowed and awed at the gifts of the Spirit and miss the point. I think in Pentecostal and charismatic circles, we have a tendency to get wowed and awed. Oh, wow, my word, what, you know, and we miss the point. And I want us to talk about that just a little bit this morning, because I think it's crucial when it comes to the flow in and the flow out of our life. So take your Bibles, and I want to show you, I want us to read through. Paul actually wrote about these gifts, and he said it in a context that is important. Coming up on the screen is the key verses, 1 Corinthians 12. I actually this morning want to start just a little bit before that and give you a little bit of context. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. Now to the verse that's coming up on the screen. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Let's pray. Father, I praise You and I thank You this morning for the privilege we have to come and spend for a few moments talking about the gifts of the Spirit and their meaning in our life. Lord, I pray that we will get beyond the wow and the awe, and we will sense what it is that You are doing, Lord, when the gifts of the Spirit operate in our lives and in our midst. We thank You and we praise You for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to deal with one basic question as it relates to the gifts of the Spirit that you see on the screen. One basic question, and then I'm going to make 2 or 3 observations about that, and that is going to be, that's the message that the Lord has given me to deal with this morning. When you read through the list, when you read through and you think about a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, you think about discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gifts of healing. By the way, it's plural there, which I find interesting, and we'll talk about that at another time. The gifts of the Spirit, the working of miracles, faith, those gifts, when you begin to walk through them and think through them, the question that comes to mind is why would God work in that way? It's a fundamental question. Why would God choose to work through gifts of the Spirit? I mean, why God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. That means He's always present. He's all-knowing, and he knows everything. So why would He's all-powerful. So why would He choose to work in this almost, I'm going to use the word, strange and almost mystical way? Why would He choose to operate in those ways? It's a fundamental, it's a basic question. I mean, think about it for a moment. Just think about the gifts. A word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is the ability to know the mind of the Spirit concerning a certain situation and be able to communicate that. That's simply what it is. It's not nearly as strange as we might think. A word of wisdom is the ability, beyond natural ability, to know the mind of the Spirit, what God has to say about something, and to communicate that into somebody else's life. A word of knowledge is the divinely revealed information beyond my natural ability to acquire that information. In other words, I know something, or you know something, that is beyond your ability. You didn't hear it through the grapevine. You've heard it through the true vine, that is the Holy Spirit speaking into our lives. And so you have this information, and you know something that you otherwise have no way of knowing. Faith is simply the ability, as it relates to the gift of faith. Faith is the ability to see God's will for the future and to believe Him for it, regardless of the circumstances. Healings, the gifts of healings. The gift of healing is an individual who acts as God's intermediary. He acts as God's intercessor, if you will, to bring healing. The same thing with the working of miracles. An individual acts as God's intermediary to bring supernatural results that's beyond the natural laws. Prophecy. Prophecy is simply the ability to, when you think about prophecy, and that's one that people highlight a lot, it's simply the ability to deliver a direct message from God. To deliver a direct message from God to somebody's life and into a situation. Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is simply the ability to know the motivating spirit behind words, actions, and thoughts. The motivating spirit. Discerning, I sense, I know what's being said, I know what's the actions, I know the attitude that I see. What is the spirit that is behind it? That's a gift of the Spirit. Tongues, that is to the ability to speak in a tongue that is not known to us. And we have that gift that operates here sometime. And then the accompanying gift of interpretation, that is the ability for someone in the group to understand that language that they do not naturally know and to tell us what God is saying. So the question is, why would God choose to work in that way? Why would He choose to manifest? In fact, that's what verse 7 says. He calls it the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. And I want us to deal with that question for a moment. If you have your Bibles open, turn back to verse 1. This verse is coming up on the screen, and I want us to look at this and see what it says here. It's coming up on the screen in the NIV, the New International Version, because it makes it so plain. And this is the one question that I want to deal with this morning, and then everything else that I say is going to relate to this. Look what it says. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Pause right there for a second. Paul is making it very clear. He's saying, look, I don't want the gifts just operating in the church and you not understand what's going on. He's saying, it is not sufficient, and I see that in churches sometimes where the gifts of the Spirit operate and people just don't have a clue what's going on. It seems to be too strange, too awkward, too odd, and Paul says, look, I don't want you ignorant about what's going on here. Now, he said something else that is very important. You know that you were Gentiles. You know that you were Gentiles. In other words, you know there was a time in your past when you were Gentiles carried away with these what? Mute idols. Mute idols. That's what the New International Version says. The New Living Translation here says speechless idols. The Bible in basic English says this, images without a voice or without power. The complete Jewish Bible interprets that phrase as this. It says, idols which cannot speak at all. The Good Word translation says translates this as gods with a small g, gods with a small g, who cannot speak a word. The New Living, the Good News translation interprets this as lifeless idols who have no voice. Do you see what we're saying here? The context, this is immensely important. The context of the gifts of the Spirit that it's mentioned here, the backdrop, Paul says, look, I know, I don't want you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. I know that when you were Gentiles, you listened to mute, dumb, lifeless, speechless idols who could not say anything at all, and yet you followed their voice that you could not even hear. But concerning the gifts of the Spirit, it will not be so. For the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God, when He moves, it is His voice. You understand the gifts of the Spirit? Everything we know about the gifts of the Spirit boils down to this one question. Why would God move in those ways that we mentioned a moment ago? And the one reason is this. It's because it is His voice. Everything. He's saying, look, there was a time when you were living in the world, you listened to dumb, speechless, lifeless idols who could not say a word at all, who have no voice at all, yet when I speak, you will know it's the Spirit that speaks, you'll know it's the Lord that speaks, you will know it is God that speaks in your life. The gifts of the Spirit are about the voice of God. That's why we value the gifts of the Spirit so much. Because if there is one thing that happens in our life, it is that we need in our life, it is the voice of God. Let me make this one statement. Brother James is going to put it on the screen, and everything else I'm going to say is going to relate to this one statement. The gifts of the Spirit are about the voice of God. His communication, Him speaking to us, and in His voice, there is abundance. There it is. That's the whole sermon in one sentence. But you're not getting off that easy. I've got a little bit more I want to say. The gifts of the Spirit, listen, are not about strange actions. The gifts of the Spirit are not about who said what or how they... It's not about any of that. The gifts of the Spirit are about one thing. It's about God's voice speaking into my life, God's voice speaking into your life. God wants to speak to you. He said, Paul set it up. Paul said, look, you serve dumb, mute, lifeless idols who could not speak a word, but with God it will not be so. God will speak into your life. He will make His voice heard into your life. He will communicate to you and speak to you into your life. Now, certainly, God speaks through His Word. We talked about the Spirit and the Word. Certainly, God speaks through His Spirit. We've talked about how that God, when you spend time praying with your Bible open, that the Spirit will speak to you and His Word will speak to you. This, what I'm saying this morning, is not changing any of that at all. In fact, the primary communication, I believe the primary communication is when you are alone with God with your Bible open. That's the primary communication, the way God wants to speak to you. But listen, God is saying, I want my voice heard. When you gather together, whether it's two or three, or whether it's 2,000 or 3,000, I want my voice heard. God says, enough of living and serving gods who are speechless, dumb, mute. I want to speak to you. I want to speak into your life. Can I back away from that and say to you that I see a lot of people today who are again settling for dumb, mute, speechless idols and serving them. I want a God who can speak into my life. I want a God when I'm getting near the edge of the cliff, I want Him to speak into my life. When I need direction, I want Him to speak into my life. When I need an answer to a situation, I want Him to speak into my life. When I can't understand something, I want Him to speak into my life. When I need encouragement, when I need strength, I want Him to speak into my life. And God says, it's important enough to me for my voice to be heard in your life that I will move, yes, through my Spirit, yes, through my Word, but I will also move through people. You understand? God actually uses people. I don't understand why. God is able to communicate and to say whatever He wants in any form that He wants. In fact, He spoke through a donkey at one occasion. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. He spoke through a donkey on one occasion, certainly here, but His primary vehicle that He speaks through is people. He primarily speaks and talks into your life through individuals, and He uses the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are about His voice. It's about His communication. It's about Him speaking to us. And in His voice is abundance. But here's what I think happens. I think we get awed and awed over the gifts of the Spirit, and we miss His voice. There it is. We get fascinated and awed and, wow, oh my word, did you see that? We get awed and wowed over the gifts of the Spirit, and we miss the whole point. The point is His voice. The point is that God is speaking. There's some individuals that are, in fact, Casey Lynn's one of them. I wasn't taught this. In fact, I haven't done it. She went away to college and she came back doing this. Whenever there's a word that is given, she writes it down. And the reason she writes it down, I asked, why do you write it down with it? She said, well, it's God speaking, right? Well, if it's God speaking, don't you want to write down what God said, right? That's the reality, that this is not about this gift, the ooh and the ah. This is about the voice of God. That's the whole point. That's what the gifts are about. And I'm afraid that in Pentecostal charismatic circles, we've made it about the gift rather than the voice that is behind the gift. Now, listen, I'm not demeaning gifts. I believe that the gifts of the Spirit ought to be in full operation in our church, and they are in operation more so than many of you see, especially during our prayer times on Tuesdays. But my point is, it's not about the gift, it's about the voice of God. It's all about the voice of God. But to be all about the voice of God and to miss it, about the gifts of the Spirit and miss His voice, it's kind of like going to the airport and awing and ooing over the planes. How fast they fly and the turns that they take and how they can come down and stop and land and then take off again and being awed and awed over the planes and never getting on one. The point of the planes is not to put on an air show, right? The point of the plane is for you to climb on board, sit down in a seat, buckle in, and let the pilot take you where you need to go. Now listen to me. The gifts of the Spirit are the same way. The gifts of the Spirit are not about God showing off or about anybody else showing off. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to be God's voice. It is a vehicle through which God sends His voice. And what you and I need to do is to climb on board, find a seat, sit down, buckle in, and let God carry us where we need to go. Because enough of listening to dumb idols. Enough of listening to mute gods. Enough of living my life without God speaking into my life. And God says, that's not the way it is meant to be at all. The gifts of the Spirit are about His voice being present. The gifts of the Spirit is about God's voice in our life. Listen, God does not send His gifts to impress us. God does not need to impress you. God is not an egomaniac. He does not need His ego built up. He does not need His ego. Listen, He doesn't need to show off. He doesn't need to show off just to impress us. He doesn't need to show us the gifts just to show us that He can. That's not the point. The point is that He wants to speak into our lives. And He wants to speak through our lives. That's His voice. The gifts of the Spirit are His voice present into and through our life. Whether it's the word or the fruits or the gifts that we've been talking about, there is a quality of abundance. Why? Because abundance is in God's voice. Do you know this morning God has something to say? The situation that you're facing, God has something to say about it. The problem that you're looking at, God has something to say about it. The question that you're wondering about, God has something to say about it. That decision that's being made at work, God has something to say about it. That what is plaguing your relationships, God has something to say about it. And He wants to bring His voice and speak into our life. God has something to say. He wants His voice heard. He wants to speak. God is speaking into our lives. The gifts of the Spirit are about God's voice, His communication, Him speaking to us, and in His voice is abundance. Are you with me this morning? Are we clear on that? That's what the gifts of the Spirit are about. Now, I want to make two or three observations about that because I think they're crucial. Because if we're going to hear God's voice in the gifts of the Spirit, if we're going to hear His voice, I think there are two or three things we have to understand about this. One is what I call the environment in which the gifts of the Spirit operate. In what setting, in what situation, in what environment do the gifts of the Spirit work best? I believe that the gifts of the Spirit work best in an atmosphere where the fruits of the Spirit grow. Wow. See, think about it for a moment. Where love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control flourish, where all those fruits we talked about last week, where they flourish, that is in the life and in the church or in the community, where those fruits flourish, that's where God's voice is best heard. Think about it for a moment. How can someone receive a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy unless the fruit of the Spirit is present there? Unless there's love, joy, and peace, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and self-control, how can I trust the word of wisdom, or the word of knowledge, or the word of prophecy? Or what about this? What if a strong word, what if somebody walks up to you into your life and gives a strong correcting word in your life? Do you know where that word is best received? It's best received where there's love present, and joy present, and kindness present. And it's best, that's and it's also best delivered in love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. When God comes and He speaks into our lives, the gifts are best delivered in an atmosphere where the fruit is flourishing, where the fruit grows. In fact, listen to me, sometimes you better have the fruit of the Spirit of self-control when a word is spoken into your life. Otherwise, you'll cast off that voice of God entirely. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Think with me for a moment. In the environment where the fruit of God is propagated, that is the atmosphere where the gifts work. Where the fruit is, the gifts work, because they both have the same purpose. And that is for a tangible, discernible, transforming reality of Christ in our lives. That's what the gifts are for. They, just like the fruit, want to bring into our lives the tangible, discerning, transforming reality of Jesus in our lives. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are about God's voice. It's about His communication. It's about Him speaking to us, and in His voice is abundance. Now, here's a reality check. How unfortunate that in many charismatic Pentecostal circles, we have exalted the gifts at the neglect and expense of the fruits. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? We have clamored. We have been awed and wooed about the gifts of the Spirit to the neglect of the fruit of the Spirit. And I think we have done it to our own peril. Because, listen to me, where the gifts operate in absence of the fruit, if the gift of prophecy operates in the absence of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control, if it operates absent that, disaster awaits. Disaster awaits. Because the gifts are meant to operate in an atmosphere where the fruit is present. And I'm concerned that in many atmospheres today, we have clamored after the gifts in such a way that we've neglected the fruit. In fact, I'll tell you, I don't believe, it is not God's desire, it is not God's design for the gifts to begin operating in my life unless the fruit is first present. Do not neglect the fruits of the Spirit and allowing those fruits to rise up in our lives. That's why the fruits and the gifts are so important together, because where the fruits are present, the gifts are free to operate. The gifts operated in community, one where another, where there was love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance and self-control in their lives. It operated in that atmosphere. So one observation I would make about the gifts of the Spirit is this. Certainly the gifts of the Spirit are the voice of God about His communication, about Him speaking to us, and He wants to do that in an atmosphere where the fruits of the Spirit flourish, where they are rising up, where they are abundant in our lives. Are you with me? You're tracking with me this morning. That's one observation. What's the point of that, Pastor? The point of that is this. I think we should seek the fruits as much as we do, perhaps more than the gifts. Because where the fruits are present, the gifts will come. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and when the Spirit sees his fruit, then he will give the gifts there that are needed there to minister to lives. That's the point. I believe we should seek the fruits more than the gifts and allow the gifts to take care of themselves, because the Holy Spirit will do that. He will manifest, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, he will manifest himself. Let me make a second observation about the gifts of the Spirit. And I make this because I yearn for God, the Holy Spirit, to manifest himself even more. So I want to make a second observation this morning. The second observation is this. The focus of the gifts of the Spirit. Now obviously, everything the Holy Spirit does, he gives glory to Christ. That's not what I'm talking about here. Obviously, everything the Holy Spirit does, he gives glory to Christ. But when the gifts of the Spirit are operating, the focus is the need of the hearer. In other words, he always speaks into the life that is in need of his voice. The focus is always the life that is in need. He always speaks to that life. He always speaks to that need. His voice, the gifts of the Spirit, what he wants to bring is he wants to bring abundance. He wants to bring the transforming, life-giving power of Christ into that life. And he is focused there on that need, on that life that is in need. Now, watch this. Here's another reality check. The focus is never the speaker. The focus is never the speaker. It is never the one giving the communication. Can I tell you something? We have gotten this backwards. Are you with me? You okay this morning? We have gotten this completely backwards in the Pentecostal charismatic church. We have flipped it around. The one that we look at is the one that has the gift. Oh, he speaks a prophetic word, or she has a word of knowledge, or they speak with tongues, or they interpret, or they have the gift. We have made the one who has the gift the object, the Holy Spirit. That's not the object at all. With the Holy Spirit, the one giving the word, the one communicating, the one speaking is never the object. And yet in Pentecost, we've made them the object. In fact, can you handle this? You all right? We've worshiped them. We've made idols out of them. We've put them on pedestals. We have lived with them up. We put them in a place of pride. We have set them up for a fall. We have set them up for a fall. In fact, I'm going to say something to the church. You've heard me. You know how I speak, how I feel about preachers who are superstars, and I'm not taking anything away from that. That is absolute. But I'm going to tell you something. In many cases, the church has set them up for the fall. The church has put them on a pedestal, lifted them up, made a superstar out of them, and the gift, because they have a gift of God in their life, and the gifts were never meant to exalt that individual. They're meant to exalt Christ and to bring Christ into the life of the person that is in need. Wow. Wow. Let me give you, just think about it for a minute. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying. Casey Lane, come help me. If I have a word, here's what we do. If I have a prophetic word for Casey Lynn, and I speak that prophetic word into her life, the focus of what is going on here, is Casey Lynn and in her life, and that Almighty God wants to say something into her life. Now watch this. You could move me out of the equation. Watch this now. You can move me out of the equation. Gerlin, help me. You can move me out of the equation and put Gerlin there. Makes no difference at all. Because the same God, the same Spirit, the same Lord, if Gerlin is a willing vessel, can flow through Gerlin and speak into Casey Lynn's life. It changes nothing at all. At all. Thank you, Gerlin. Casey Lynn, stay here. You can move Gerlin out of the picture. Come here, Michael. Come here, help me. You move Gerlin out of the picture. Watch this now. And insert Michael into the picture, and it changes nothing at all, because Casey Lynn is still in need, and God is still God. The Holy Spirit is still the Holy Spirit. It changes nothing at all. Amen. See, the focus is not Michael or Gerlin or me or whoever stands here. The glory goes to God, and the focus is Casey Lynn's need in her life. Amen. But you take Casey Lynn out of the picture. Thank you, baby. and you put me in, everything's changed. You see, it's not the same then. Everything's changed then. Why? Because God had a word. God had a word through Michael to Casey Lynn, and we've got the focus in the wrong spot. We've put the focus here, and the focus of the need is here, and our glory needs to go to Christ. Are you with me? Thank you, Michael. You can give the Lord praise for that, because we've got that backwards. We've got that backwards far too many times. That is what causes, and I'm just going to preach here for a moment. That is what causes people to run after, oh, I want what God's doing in your life. And I want what God's doing in your life. But because we've got our focus completely, totally in the wrong place. We focused on the wrong thing. Oh, I want to speak in tongues like her, or interpret, or have that gift of faith, or prophetic word, or word of knowledge, word of wisdom. What I want to have, what you have. What have we done there? We've put our focus in the wrong spot. It's not about the person that's speaking. It's about the God who has a voice, who wants to speak into our lives, who wants to His life to speak into our lives. The gifts of the Spirit about God's voice, His communication, Him speaking, and in His voice is abundance. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say this. Where the focus becomes on the speaker is where spiritual it is where spiritual confusion and manipulation and abuse thrive. It's where spiritual confusion and manipulation and abuse thrive. In some of what we have seen over the last two decades, it is a direct result that we've got our attentions in the wrong place. Why was he able to manipulate that situation spiritually? Because they made a superstar out of him. Why was she able spiritually to manipulate or to abuse spiritually in that situation? Because we made a superstar out of him, and God's gifts were never meant to be used in that way. Amen? That's good word. That's good word. So let me make a final observation here. One observation is that the fruits and the gifts need to go together. A second observation is that the focus is on the need of the hearer, not on the one who is doing the speaking. And I'm telling you, we got to get that right. We got to stop making super spiritual stars out of people. Because God never intended that. God gets all the glory. Christ gets all the glory. The Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit gives all the glory away to Christ. Who are we to take it for ourselves, right? A final observation that I want to say here is this. Is it seems to me there has been a shift in the flow when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. This is very similar to what I just spoke, but it's different. It's a little different. See, do you remember last week I spoke about the fruits of the Spirit have function and purpose? The function of a piece of fruit, when I eat it, It nourishes me, it supplies me, it encourages me, it strengthens me, it gives me life and vitality. That's the function. But there is more than that. There is purpose in fruit. Fruit is not just function, it's purpose, and the purpose is the seed. And the purpose for love, joy, peace in my life, the function of it is that encouragement, it strengthens me. But the purpose of it is that I would pass that on, that I would plant that seed in somebody else's life. So fruit has both function and purpose. And you remember I said that we've gotten off kilter, and we think the fruit is all about us. And we want the fruit into our lives. We want to receive it into our lives. And we are bad about not passing that seed on and passing that fruit. I think we have the opposite problem with the gifts of the Spirit. The opposite problem with the gifts of the Spirit. I think there's been a shift. And I think it's a last decade or two thing. Where there is a shift where with the fruits we have a problem of taking it in and not giving it out. With the gifts, I think there's a problem because many people want to be used in the gifts, but not many people want the gifts coming into them. Let me see if I can illustrate. How many of you know somebody or have heard of somebody recently whose first name is Prophet? You know what I'm talking about. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Their first name's Prophet. I mean, Mama called him Paul, but they've started calling themselves Prophet. Okay, now watch this. The problem that I see in much of that environment is this. It's because the majority of those who call themselves prophet, They want a prophetic word flowing out of them. But you can't tell them nothing. You can't tell them anything. They want to be able to walk up in front of them. They want to be able to walk up in front. And they want to bring a strong word and a word of correction. But oh, don't you dare bring correction back to their life. Do you see this? That flow, we've messed up that flow. It's the opposite that it is with the fruit. With the fruit, oh, bring the fruit, bring the fruit. I want the fruit in my life. With the gifts, oh, I don't know that I want anybody discerning about my life. Come on now. I don't know that I want anybody looking inside past my words, past my actions, and really seeing my heart. Okay? Are you ready? You follow what I'm saying? And that's the problem that I see with a lot of the prophetic world today is that I see a lot of people that have the title and I see individuals who have the title and are actually operating in a prophetic gift. But the thing that is missing is they won't let anybody speak into their life. No prophetic word comes to them. No correction comes to them. No challenge comes to them because they're above it all. And I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that, church. There's something wrong with that. Because here's what I know. Here's what I know from my own life. Before God's voice is going to speak through my life into Beverly's life, God's voice is going to speak into my life about my life. Right? Had an individual at a church one time. He always wanted to come and give a prophetic word. And yet I could see in his life some stuff that was just messed up. And I brought him into my office one day, and I said to him, I have a question for you. I appreciate the gifts of the Spirit. I appreciate the moving of the gifts of the Spirit. But I just asked him flat out. I just looked him straight in the face, and I'm saying, listen, you always come and have a prophetic word for this church. I want to ask you, when is the last time you heard God say something to you about your life? Because this was an individual that always had something for somebody else. But don't you touch him. Don't you touch his life. Don't you correct him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I know there are always those that are going to clamor after the gift. Listen, they were seeking signs when Jesus was here. They're going to be seeking signs in the last days. That's part of why the Antichrist is going to be able to fool them. So that is here with us. It's always going to be with us. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. What I'm talking about this morning is the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, I need them flowing into my life as much as I need them flowing through my life. If I'm going to operate in the gift of discernment, I must be vulnerable enough to say, Lord, I need somebody in my life that can discern my heart, that can speak the truth to me, that can speak into my life in such a way, even if it's a strong word, even if it's a corrective word, that they can speak into my life. There is that flow in our life, and in that flow, it's got to speak in. Before God's voice speaks through you, he will speak to you. You have to allow the voice of the Spirit to speak into your life before he will speak through your life into somebody else's life. If you want discernment, you're going to have to be willing for God to give somebody else discernment about your life. Wow. You want a word? You want a word? You want to be able to give a word? You've got to be willing for God to speak a word through somebody else into your life. You know, oh yes, Pastor, I'm open. I'm willing. Come bring the word on. What if it's challenging? What if it's correcting? What if it's admonishing? Are we open to that word of the Lord speaking into our lives, coming into our lives and speaking that word? Because if you're not, you're never going to be used effectively in the gifts of the Spirit. Because God, when he brings his voice and when he speaks into our lives, he wants to speak in such a way that it will be his voice that is heard. See, the path to abundance is marked by the voice of God. The path to abundance is marked by the voice of God. That's the reason that the gifts are so important, because they are God's voice, his communication. It's him speaking to us, and it's his voice, in his voice, that there is abundance. Abundance is about flowing in and flowing out, and that's why the gifts are so crucially important. So this morning, how do I apply this in my life? Just real quickly, I'm going to say this. How do I apply this in my life? Two questions. I want to give you two questions this morning, and I'm going to go with it. One way that you apply everything I have said here this morning, the first question is this: where does God need to speak into your life? Where is God trying to speak into your life? Is there a place where God's going to speak into your life? You understand this morning that we had a demonstration of a prophetic word. That is that Brother Ernest came and used the word and spoke a specific word for this congregation, for this occasion. That is prophecy. Now, that is prophetic. We make everything that's prophetic prophecy, and it's not the same. The prophetic voice is a direct communication from God, and that's what that was this morning. It was a direct communication from God. So here's the question. Here's the question. Were you willing this morning to receive that word into your life? Were you willing for God to challenge you through that word? Were you open for God to say that that could be applied? And where does God need to speak into your life? There was a second word. It was a word of knowledge this morning. But I know the individual that God is speaking to, but I felt impressed by the Spirit that you've got to respond to. You have to respond to that. And there's an individual, you've been backed in a corner, and here's the question. Here's the question. Are you willing to allow God to speak into your life that way? Because His voice is the pathway to abundance. His voice is the pathway. Or what about a word of encouragement? When God speaks, God doesn't always speak corrective, admonishing things. He encourages, He strengthens. And are you willing to allow God to strengthen and encourage you and speak into your life? The question is, where does God need to speak into your life? In fact, that's not even the question. The question is, where is God trying to speak into your life? You understand, don't you, this morning? That wherever there is a need, God is trying to speak into your life. God is trying to say something. Sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's correction. We must embrace it. Whatever the message is, we must embrace His voice. And the second question is this: how to apply this? First question on how to apply this is, where is God trying to speak in my life? And listen to me. In fact, I need to say this. There's nobody that's here that's not above the need for God to speak into your life. You don't have it together enough to not need God's voice. Are you hearing me? You do not have it together enough. Oh, Pastor, I don't need that in my life. I don't need God to speak that way. Well, you just go right on. Right on. Paul said, that's like serving dumb, mute, lifeless idols. There's nobody here that doesn't need God's voice in their life. So the first question is, where does God want to speak into my life? And the second question is this: into whose life does God want to use you to speak? Here's what I believe. I believe that God wants to use the gifts of the Spirit to make His voice heard. One of the ways He does that is through the gifts of the Spirit that we looked at a few moments ago up on the screen. I think God does that because He knows sometimes we need to hear from Him directly. We need Him to communicate into our life in a way that drowns out all the other noise. Is anybody else's life noisy but mine? Is your life noisy? Is it just filled with noise? Isn't it refreshing when God's voice speaks above that noise and it's like His is the only voice you can hear? That's what the gifts of the Spirit are about. It's that clear, direct communication from God into our lives. So the first question is, where does God want to speak into my life? And second question, where does God want to use me to speak into somebody else's life? Now, listen to me. I need to put a caveat, an asterisk on that statement that I just made about you speaking into somebody else's life. That is not license. That is not license for you to go around the neighborhood knocking on doors telling somebody you got a word from them, okay? I'm not giving you license to run to every office, every door in every office in your place and knock on the door and say, I got a word from the Lord. If I hear you doing that, okay, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. But I am saying this. God wants to use you to speak into somebody's life. He wants to make His voice known. And I'm going to tell you, if we would embrace what I've talked about this morning, this would not be nearly as strange and mysterious. It was the normal way the New Testament church worked. It's the normal way God worked in the New Testament church in the book of Acts, and I believe it's the normal way again. And in fact, and I'm going to go beyond that. Listen to me. There needs to be more voices than the pastor's voice. There needs to be more instruments than the pastor's instrument. There needs to be more voices that are being heard. I believe God wants a plethora of voices to be heard in the church for his voice to speak into our lives. But before I move out, I must first allow him to speak into my life. So here's what I want you to do this morning. It's kind of different. Got to end a little bit different this morning. I just want you to bow your heads this morning. And I want to challenge you right now before we leave. I'm going to issue you a couple of challenges. I want you to just begin to pray right now and ask the Lord where he wants to speak into your life. We're just going to give you just a few moments this morning, just a minute or so this morning. Where does God want to speak into your life? Is there something that you're struggling with? Do you know God has something to say about that? Is there something that you've got a question about? Do you know God wants to, he has something to say about that? Are you struggling with an issue? If you're struggling with an issue, don't you know this morning that God wants to say something to you about that issue? Maybe you're here this morning and you're just discouraged. I mean, you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't see anything of value or anything of worth. Can I tell you this morning that God has something that he wants to say about that, about his love for you and how much he cares for you, how much he loves you this morning. He wants to speak into your life. Or maybe you feel like I don't matter to anybody. Can I tell you this morning, God's got something to say about that. He wants to tell you that he loves you and he cares about you. And he wants to speak that into your life. Or maybe you need great faith for something. Faith that is beyond you. Can I tell you, God has an ample supply of faith that he wants to bring into your life. Where does God want to speak into your life? As he begins to show that to you, as he begins to reveal that to you, may I ask you right now to just make that your prayer? Ask him, Lord, I want you to speak into my life. I want your voice. I want your voice in my relationships. Lord, I want your voice in my relationships. I want your voice in my decisions. I want your voice, Lord, on the path of my life, because I know I cannot navigate this path without you, Lord. I want you to speak into my life. And as you have prayed that prayer, and as you pray that prayer, then you are also then in a position to begin to say, Lord, do you want to say something through me to somebody else? Maybe there's somebody that works in the cubicle next to you that is in, believe it or not, worse condition than you are, have greater need than you have. And it may just be one word. It may just be one word that God wants to speak through you, but it's his voice into that person's life, and it'll be like a seed that's planted there. Or maybe there's a word of correction that needs to come someone. And yes, you must handle that with care and with honesty before the Holy Spirit and with love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and goodness. But will you be bold enough to speak that in a way that reflects the Spirit of Jesus Christ into their lives? Because here's what I know. I know God wants his voice heard. Father, I thank you as we sit here this morning. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for the power of your Spirit. And I thank you for your voice. I thank you, Lord, that we've been able to step away from the ooh and the ah of the gifts and just to talk about it this way, in a morning this way, that makes it functional and makes it real and that makes it applicable to our lives. And so as we sit here, Lord, we do make these two prayers. Lord, I pray that you would speak into our lives in the area of our need and that you would give us attentive ears to hear and a receptive heart to receive, and courage to respond to your voice and what you say in our lives. God, I also ask you this morning, Lord, that you will begin in our midst as you see fit to pour out the gifts of the Spirit, that your voice will be heard above all of the other voices, Lord. that your voice will be heard. And I praise you and I thank you for it today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet. Here's what I know this morning. The gifts of the Spirit about God's voice, His communication, Him speaking to us, and in His voice is abundance. I invite you this morning to tune your ear into His voice. He has something to say. Amen? Amen. Remember to get these blue sheets from Casey Lynn. Remember all of the things that are going on this week. And until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. I love you. God bless you.